Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've got a couple of good, pithy sayings to share with you tonight. The first is from C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia, that fellow. He wrote, "A person cannot remain a good egg forever. One must either hatch or rot." And the second one, I don't know who it's from, but it goes like this. "God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way." I like these verses, these little quotes. These sayings help us to see that growth and maturity in the Christian's life, it's something that is unavoidable. In the gospel lesson today, Jesus talks about that. He speaks of maturity and growth for his followers by first being connected to him, and the important word today is this, remaining connected to him. Jesus uses the image of vine and branches, and how it is that the branches produce fruit. Now, that image reminds us of something we instinctively know, that only as branches mature after being grafted into the vine and remaining in the vine, will they then inevitably produce fruit. In verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Now, the thing to notice about this is that in what Jesus talks about, there is cutting. There's a sharp tool involved in both of these things. Now, one form of the cutting leads to growth, while the other leads to permanent separation. And also notice that it's the gardener who does the cutting. The branches don't do that themselves or to one another. He does it as he sees what is best for his garden and for the health of the vines. The point is that the fruit, which is the good works we as Christians do, that fruit does not make a Christian better or cleaner in Jesus' words. Christians are already totally, fully, completely clean. That means we're justified. We are pure. And that's because of the word of the gospel. Being grafted into Jesus, into the vine, that alone is what makes us clean. And we are clean because Christ is risen. Now, good works, our fruit, isn't optional. But neither is the fruit, our fruit, the cause of our salvation. Good works will surely follow from true faith as surely as fruit grows from a vine that has mature branches that have been pruned for growth by the gardener. When we're baptized, we're grafted into Christ. And through worship and preaching, through confirmation, through private devotions, through Bible study here or at home, doing your own Bible reading, in these ways, we mature in Christ. And in this way, we, using the important word today, we remain in him. Remain, like I said, the key word in the gospel reading today. Some form of this word in the Greek is used 10 times in the reading today. Now, 9 times, the form of the words that Jesus uses applies to the disciples. And it's his call for them to remain in Jesus and abide in his words, abide in his commands. Now, the single and very last use of the word is to describe how Jesus lives as one who remains in the love of the Father. It's a 9-to-1 ratio. Now, this ratio points out two things. First and most obvious is that Jesus strongly desires to have this abidingly close connection with each of his followers. But perhaps as equally important is the one time Jesus applies the word to himself. Because he does so as an example. He does so as an example to the disciples of what he's meant those other nine times. That is, it's in his Father's love that Jesus himself does remain, as they have witnessed, as they have seen. So this one use emphasizes that as Jesus remains and abides in the love of the Father, so also are all of Jesus' followers to remain and abide in Jesus' love. Now, this word remain also carries with it, in the Greek, a sense of long duration. The duration that never ends. When we live and abide in the love of Christ, our state of existence has forever been changed. It remains changed from how we were before. Forever. We're now living the duration of our life here and forever in his love. There's a never-ending quality that comes with remaining. And that sense of never-ending comes from the source of that love. The source is God, our Heavenly Father, who has sent Jesus to show us his love. Now, remaining and abiding in the love of the Father happens only because he calls us to that. And he gives that to us as his gift. In the Lauren Daigle song, it's grace that reaches out to us, that calls to us. Look back at the first reading from today. There the eunuch is called and given a place in the kingdom of God. Now this eunuch, though a believer in Yahweh, would have been unqualified to enter the dwelling place of God on earth, the temple, because of his status as a eunuch. The Jewish ceremonial laws would have forbidden his entry. However, God didn't count that against him, as demonstrated by having Philip present to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, though the eunuch was separated by his physical condition from the earthly house of worship for Jews, God did not consider him removed from his grace. God sent Philip to him with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And the eunuch, through the gift of faith in Jesus, was grafted into the vine of Christ. The gospel is what binds us to the vine in Christ. But if we're separated or choose to be cut off from the vine, then we are without hope. Please read with me this verse, the sixth verse of today's gospel lesson. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. That's a truly lost and hopeless state, to be useless to God. That's what it means to be withered and dried up and then gathered up and thrown into the fire. Another way to look at that is what despair looks like. And that is what we were before the coming of the gospel to us. But God has called. God has called and invites all people to be grafted into Jesus, the vine. And through that same gospel, to remain in him, just as he did with the eunuch today. This eunuch received the mercy of God by having the word of God open to him and by his receiving that word. And Philip did a good job, by the way. Philip did a good job of explaining doctrine to him. Now, we know that because of the question that the man asked Philip when Philip was done with the explanation of the Old Testament in light of Christ and Christ's sacrifice on the cross. His question was, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? This man understood from the clarity of what Philip said that God's gift of new life can be received by hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. So, right now, today, kept in heaven, is this eunuch with God by the grace of Jesus Christ alone. Marvelous to think about. And when we get there, we can ask him, what was it like to have Philip simply appear on the road and to share with him the gospel message from the Old Testament? And then for Philip to just disappear. We also, like this eunuch, and by the same message of grace, have been grafted into Christ. As we remain in Jesus and mature in the vine, we naturally produce fruit for God. We're not grafted into the vine simply to feed off of it and never grow or produce fruit. Remember the C.S. Lewis quote about the egg, you either rot or you hatch. We also either grow or are cut off from the vine. Remember the words from John's epistle today in verses 9 through 11. And remember, before I read that, that growth isn't up to you to accomplish. It happens through you by the word of God as you take that in. So, listen again, verses 9 through 11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I loved hearing that from Abby's voice tonight. We are called to continual maturity in the love of Christ. And so we produce fruit, reflecting the life that we've been given by Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection. Our fruit is his goodness to us that we in turn give to others. We've given our pledge through confirmation and the many times we've renewed our baptismal promises to remain in the vine. That's been our pledge. And so to live fruitful lives of holiness before the eyes of God, by faith we remain. By the gift of faith, we're attached and grafted into Christ. And that alone is what gives us the power to mature and to produce fruit. Now, remember the other saying from our opening. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. I want you to take a moment right now. I want you to think and reflect on the power of the vine that you have been grafted into. Take a moment and ponder the nature of Christ that flows through your veins, producing through you the fruit of his love. Remember that God's love will not leave you unchanged. Like the saying says, he loves you too much to leave you that way. How will you now live that tomorrow and the next day? How will you show that love to one another here, with each other in your homes, with your friends, co-workers, if you still have them, but some of us don't anymore, and schoolmates? Remember, it's the fruit of Christ that you exhibit in your life. You're not responsible to make something up. Just live the love that you've been given as God's gift of faith in Jesus Christ. It's the love of God through the blood of Christ that has come to us from outside of ourselves. And it now flows through our veins and so makes us new and gives us the vine to remain in. Will we fail to keep his commands perfectly, to remain in his words? Yes. But there's a cure for that failure. And it's the same cure that never fails. It's his righteousness. His righteousness that comes upon us by faith through our baptism, through the sacrament of the altar, and through the hearing of his words. In these things, he delivers to us, in fact, his forgiveness for our failures. And it's in that forgiveness and love that we remain forever. Remember, it has that never-ending quality. Do we need to obey God's words? Certainly. Again, will we fail? Of course. Will God forgive yet again? Always. Always. We can never fail beyond God's ability to forgive. That's what the cross and resurrection proves to us. We live and love and remain in his word of forgiveness and love. As we go today, be mindful, as we started out, that God loves you the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart,